Let's read together John chapter 4, verses 43 through 54. In this last section of John chapter 4, we have the second of our Lord's sign miracles in the Gospel of John, the healing of the nobleman's son. John chapter 4, verse 43. Now after the 2 days, he departed from there and went to Galilee. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his own country. So when he came to Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things he did in Jerusalem at the feast, for they also had gone to the feast. So Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and implored him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then Jesus said to him, "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe." The nobleman said to him, "Sir, come down before my child dies." Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your son lives." So the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, "Your son lives." Then he inquired of them the hour when he got better. And they said to him, "Yesterday at the 7th hour, the fever left him." So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said to him, "Your son lives." And he himself believed, and his whole household. This again is the second sign that Jesus did when he had come out of Judea into Galilee. So first of all, some background notes. In verse 43, we read that it was after 2 days that he departed from there and went to Galilee. The 2 days here refer to the 2 days that the Lord spent in Samaria after he had led the Samaritan woman to salvation. Look back in verse 40. So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. So that's the 2 days here of verse 43. The Lord's statement in verse 44 that a prophet has no honor in his own country doesn't seem to make sense at first when you see what we have in verse 45. So when he came to Galilee, the Galileans received him. After all, the Galilee area was his own country. So what does the Lord mean then when he says in verse 44, a prophet has no honor in his own country? You see the apparent contradiction here? John is recording the Lord's statement here in view of what was about to happen. The Lord would be rejected by the Galileans, even though at first they received him with praise because they saw and heard of the miracles that he was performing. Particularly, they heard of the miracles that he had performed when he was down in Jerusalem. So he was first received with praise, but then they rejected him. We have a foretaste of that here in verse 48, when the Lord said, "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe." In verse 44, "For Jesus himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his own country." I think many of you probably experienced that. Now, it's nice to see a nice group of folks here tonight. But you see, I'm an out-of-town speaker, right? Suppose I lived here. Suppose I was a local. How many would be out tonight on a nice evening like this? I have an idea, maybe not as many. Or if I was to keep this seminar going for another month, you know, how many would continue to show up? You see, the Lord is saying a prophet has no honor in his own country. I'll never forget a few years ago, I was preaching at a large Easter conference in Canada. It was well attended. The ministry was well received. People were shaking my hand, saying they really enjoyed it. So I came back home, you know, thinking I was God's gift to the church, feeling pretty excited. Walk into my first class, Emmaus Bible College, first class Monday morning. During the lecture, a student raised his hand and asked a question. He fell asleep while I gave the answer. Do you see the point? Oh, I was brought down very quickly. So that explains the Lord's statement there, a prophet has no honor in his own country. The royal official here that we read of in verse 46 was either a Jew or a Gentile, probably a Jew, and probably employed by Herod Antipas, who was the ruler over the region of Galilee. The royal official was stationed in Capernaum, a town on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, and he travels about 20 miles to Cana to request healing for his son, who was very sick. Verse 47 says the son was at the point of death. In verse 48, then Jesus said to him, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. It sounds like a rebuke to the official, but the Lord is actually addressing the people here who were following him just for the miracles. We know that because in the Greek language, the you here is plural. You don't pick it up in English. And that's why in most of your translations, you see the people is in italics. See, it's not there in the original, but it's added in most of your translations because the you is definitely plural. So he's not rebuking the official here. He's more rebuking the people because they're following him just for the miracles. In verse 54, where we read, this again is the second sign that Jesus did when he had come out of Judea into Galilee. This does not mean that this was Jesus' second miracle, but it's the second one in Galilee and the second sign miracle in the Gospel of John. We know that the first sign miracle in John, as well as the first miracle of Christ, was John chapter 2, the changing of the water into wine. But now we know from John 3 and 4, the Lord did many miracles down there in Jerusalem. For example, look at John chapter 2 and verse 23. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover during the feast, many believed in his name because they saw the signs which he did. And chapter 3, verse 1, we have the story of Nicodemus. And in verse 2, he says, no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. So we know the Lord did a number of miracles while he was down in Jerusalem. But now it comes back to the Galilee area, and we have this second sign miracle in the Gospel of John, or the second miracle done in the Galilee area. Let's move on to our doctrinal or teaching points. Doctrinal point number one, God designs dilemmas of faith to cause Christian growth. God designs dilemmas of faith to cause Christian growth. The Lord purposely put the royal official in a dilemma of faith. Verse 49, the nobleman says to the Lord, sir, come down before my child dies. Verse 50, the Lord simply says, go your way, your son lives. Now the official is in a dilemma of faith. If he goes, he must leave the Lord and go in complete faith based on the word of the Lord. If he stays and insists that the Lord come, well then, the son might die in the meantime. Well, the man believes the word of the Lord and responds with a strong faith here. And notice how verses 52 and 53 emphasize that he grew in faith. When the servants say that yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him, so the father knew that it was at the same time in which Jesus said to him, your son lives, and he himself believed, and his whole household. Well, he already believed, but you see how his faith is growing. And he witnesses his whole household coming to salvation as well. God designs dilemmas of faith to cause Christian growth. Now that takes place today as well. You know, just about every 2 months, Margie and I go through a dilemma of faith. As you know, I write Devotions for Growing Christians, 6 issues a year. So every 2 months, we have to go through this process of I write it up, and then we send it to the printer, and then we mail it out. Been doing this for 22 years now. It costs about $1,000 per issue for the printing and the mailing. Now, normally it works like this. When I start writing it, the funds are not there for taking it to the printer and mailing it out. It's normally a dilemma of faith. I know the Lord has given me this ministry, and I believe he wants me to continue to write, but the funds aren't there. Shall we wait and not step out in faith until all the funds are there? Or do we take a reasonable step of faith and see God work and grow in faith? Why does God operate this way anyway? Because God designs dilemmas of faith to cause Christian growth. Doctrinal point number two. God can heal from a distance. God can heal from a distance. In this miracle, the Lord did not lay hands on the sick boy or even go to his bedside. He just spoke the words, "Your son lives." Healing by remote control, if you will. God can heal from a distance. When John wrote John 20 and verse 31, "But these signs are written," including this one that we're talking about right now, the healing of the nobleman's son, "these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." Certainly this miracle emphasizes the deity of Christ. God can heal from a distance. God can heal from a distance today. When I was 12 years old, I had polio, and I was in the hospital, paralyzed. God healed me as an answer to prayer. My prayers and the prayers of many other Christians. No one came and laid hands on me. No healers. The paralysis left overnight. God can heal from a distance. Maybe you're praying for healing right now for yourself or someone else. God does not always heal. We need to leave that up to the sovereign will of God. But God can heal, and God can heal from a distance. Let's move on now to our practical application. Practical application number one. Do you need signs and wonders? Do you need signs and wonders? The Lord said in verse 48, "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe." This was a rebuke to the people. To need signs and wonders in order to believe is not pleasing to God. Do you need signs and wonders? Now, there's no doubt that God has used signs and wonders to confirm his word. There were signs and wonders in the Old Testament to confirm the word of the prophets. There were signs and wonders in the life and ministry of our Lord Jesus, proving his deity. There were signs and wonders done by the apostles confirming the word of the Lord. And God is not limited today. He can use signs and wonders today. But do you need signs and wonders? That's the point. To need or crave signs and wonders is not pleasing to God. Do you need signs and wonders? Practical application number two. Maybe your sickness will bring others to Christ. Maybe your sickness will bring others to Christ. You see in verse 53, the result of this boy being healed, we read there, "And he himself believed, and his whole household, father, mother, sister, brothers, and probably servants are included in the whole household." This would not have happened if the son had not been sick. Maybe your sickness will bring others to Christ. God allowed this boy to nearly die so that others would come to faith. You know, God may permit an accident or sickness in your life because maybe your sickness will bring others to Christ.